Good morning, everyone. We're glad you're here, and we appreciate so much you being here. Hope that you can come back tonight and hear Britt as he delivers another sermon. We heard him about, several weeks ago. But anyway, he'll be preaching this evening. And certainly we're glad to see those of you that are visiting with us this morning, and we hope and trust that our lesson will be helpful, that each one of us may be indeed inspired to do the will of God. I couldn't find a picture of a storm on the sea as good as I wanted, but there's one that kind of depicts it. Here we find the reading of the Word of God concerning Jesus, our Lord. He is in a ship. The Bible says the same day when the evening was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and I want you to notice that. Here's something that is a great storm, not just a little storm. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. This storm was a bad one. The ship was now filling up with water. And it's always interesting to me, the reading, and as we look at the different ones that describe the events of Christ, that Mark will insert sometimes something that is really an interesting comment. Notice in this verse, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is where? He's asleep. Where is he asleep? He's in the hinder part. Where's his head? It's laying on a pillow. They awoke him. They said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, three words, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What kind of man? What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? The sea is now calm. It was tumultuous. It was a bad storm. But now, it's quite interesting to find out that the Bible says that surely Jesus, whenever he spoke and he said, Peace be still, there was peace, instantaneous peace. No wonder in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Paul says that we are to make sure that whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Hope is that Bible and the confident expectation that we have because of our being children of God. Now, look at it for a moment. All of a sudden, storm comes up. Isn't that kind of like life? Most storms just come up quickly. Been out on the sea yourself? We went on a couple of the cruises. What a tremendous experience when there came up some strong winds. And I've never really been out on the sea when there was just such a really bad storm as it was here in the case of Jesus. Mark says the waves had filled the ship. It's evident that all that had been done hopefully to make sure that things would be worked out. They were all going down and they come to Jesus and say, Master, Master, wake up, get up, don't you care? We're going to drown. I'm paraphrasing. Are we like that? When we come through a storm in life, when it's our time, how do we react? How are we going to make this? How can I do it? Do we forget, like these apostles, the Master's in the ship? The Master who can help and bring peace and comfort. Oh, my friends, no wonder in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus told His disciples to go and to preach the gospel to the whole creation. And He said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. When it comes our time to face some very difficult times, never forget If you're one of God's people, there's Jesus, there's the Lord. All Jesus had to do was just simply say, "Peace, be still." The wind stopped, the waves subsided. Lake now is as flat as a mirror. There's calm, it's quiet. "Peace, be still," brought about that great calm. There's not a zephyr in the air, not a breeze on your cheek. Clouds are gone now. Moon and stars are shining. Why? Because Jesus made it all happen. What happens? You know what? After this all happened, if you continue to read in the book of Mark, you're going to find there's something else that happened here with regards to Jesus and His disciples. But the voice of Jesus is something so important as it was then, it is today in Matthew 7. "Not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." The Lord has given us His will. And what a wonderful thing it is to read it and study it and obey it, and then to know that the Lord is going to be with us and help us. You see, when Jesus said, "Peace, be still," the whole thing, He speaks in all nature, every element responds. Now as they're continuing to go in Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says it's nighttime. The boat now lands in the region of the Gadarenes. That's specifically the area of tombs, cemetery. Guess what happens? The storm of the lake now is over. It's all calm. Now then, something else is going to happen. There's another storm brewing. There's another fright for these people. Isn't life like that? You seem like you get over one thing and then something else. No wonder the Bible tells us that watch and pray. In Matthew 26, verse 41, Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Surely we read in Matthew 6:34, that each day has its own troubles. Don't worry about tomorrow. Be concerned about today. "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Yes, there's another storm now brewing. And we find there's a man that's a wild man. Here's a man that's in the tombs. And the Bible tells us that this man has been cutting himself. He's bleeding. There he is. He's had these chains on him, and now he's broken those, perhaps his wrist, and maybe on his legs. And now he's coming forth before the disciples of the Lord. Here's a crazy man. He's strong. He's dangerous. He comes running at the grave. Jesus is there. Jesus then, as he commands this evil spirit out of this man, they came out of him, and then they begged to be taken in and put in the swine, and the swine ran off, about 2,000, into the sea and drowned. Here is a man that was so deranged, and yet later on we learn here's a man that's sitting in his own mind. Jesus now has experienced something, and that is he's shown these people his power even over sin and Satan itself. No wonder in James 4, verse 7, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Let us never forget that. The Bible emphasizes to us that if only we'll just stand firm, we'll resist the devil, he will flee from you. Put on the whole armor of God. Because you see, by doing this, you'll be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. There were so many scriptures that I wanted to use, but here's a few. With showing how that you and I today have this Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, who's promised to be with us, to guide us, to lift us up, encourage us. When we get down, all we need to do is to remember, Jesus is here. Jesus is with us. Ah, like the girl that was baptized, Hannah, the other night. She knows now, because she's a child of God, that she now has the Lord to be with her. We, who are children of God, have so much to be grateful for, because the storms that we have to go through in life, we need that one that can help us and encourage us. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, listen. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Don't ever forget that one. Look also to Isaiah 1, verse 18, where God says, "Come now, let's all reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You've got something from God. Because the same God that dealt with the children of Israel and the prophets as they spoke is the God that you and I serve today. No wonder you can read in Romans 8, verse 1. "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Why no condemnation? They're walking according to the Spirit, to the direction of the Word of God. Romans 8, verse 2. "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, what man was powerless to do, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering." 1 John 1, verse 7. "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." When you go through the storms of life, remember, walk in the light. Do the Lord's will. Because God has promised you that His Son will cleanse you from all sin. And the last one, 1 John 1, verse 9. "That if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Surely, my friend, when you look and you see what the Bible tells us about our own lives, remember, sin is the thing that will condemn us, but we can be freed from that. We can be forgiven of that because of Jesus Christ. He's our encouragement if we follow His instructions. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions. Jesus says baptism does also, or rather, Peter says baptism does also now save us. 1 Peter 3:21. Have you been baptized? The Lord tells us through John, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Revelation 2 and verse 10, are you faithful? Will you be the recipient of the crown of life? No wonder then, we can see that not only did Jesus have power over sin and Satan, not only did Jesus have power over nature, but also with regards to disease. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible tells us that a lot of people now gathered together. And there are two people that we're going to talk about quickly. Jairus, a synagogue who is the ruler of the synagogue of the Jews. His daughter's dying. What do you do when somebody tells you you're going to die? I hope you get your life right. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 38, there was a man whose name was Hezekiah. God told him that he was sick and his sickness is going to bring about his death. He turns to God. He weeps before God. He's been a good man. And you remember how that God sent Isaiah back to him, telling him, "I've seen your contrition. I've seen your humility. I've seen that you have indeed turned to God." God said, "I'm going to give you another 15 years. What a tremendous gift that was. Here, a man has a daughter. She's sick. And the Bible says, Jairus, the synagogue of the ruler's synagogue, he comes and what does he do? He falls before Jesus. He pleads, he implores, he prays. Have you ever been like that? Something happens and it's just tearing you all to pieces. What do? Go to the Lord, surely. Yes, as they were going, there was another storm that a lady was going through. She's a woman that had an issue of blood. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in verse 25 that she'd been bleeding, hemorrhaging. She had suffered with this for over 12 years. I thought it was so interesting to learn, too, that she'd been to the doctor. She'd spent all that she had on doctors. As a matter of fact, verse 26 says, she's no better, she's worse. What does she do? She has faith in Christ. When Jesus comes, she falls down and she touches the hem of His garment. And the Bible tells us that Jesus wanted to know who did this, and she confessed that she had. What happened to this woman? She immediately stopped bleeding. She immediately was freed from all of her suffering. Why? Because she came to the Lord. And she got what the Lord wanted her to have. Now then, news has come as they travel. And the Bible tells us that Jairus now has someone to come and tell him, don't bother the Master anymore, because you see, your daughter has died. She's dead. Jesus looks at Jairus. What does Jesus say to Jairus? Jesus says to him, believe, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because Jesus is there. Yes, you need a faith that is so desperate. When He comes into the house, the mother and the father, He has everybody else to leave except Peter, James, and John, and the mother and the dad. He cries out and He says, in the Aramaic, tele ethicom, which means, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. The little girl woke up. She got up. She got up immediately. The color of her cheeks now shows that she's alive. She stands up. She walks around. Then Jesus said, feed her. I want to tell you what, when you look at this, and you ask that question, what manner of man is Jesus that He has power over the storms of this life, over the devil and sin, over disease and all? You began to notice, and you're certainly moved to exclaim that you have that wonderful blessing of hope of being with Jesus forevermore. How many of you are facing a storm right now? How many of us are going through some problems? How many of us have that empty, seeking feeling of fear in the very pit of our stomach? Be honest. Do we? What makes you afraid? Are you scared about your health? About some sin in your life? Are you unsure of your relationship with God? The state of the affairs of our country? About what's going to happen to your children or your grandchildren when you're gone? About the cancer the doctor recently discovered? The heart condition that you're having to learn to live with? As a preacher of the gospel, I've walked with people. I've sat with people. One young man, 29 years of age, some years ago, we were sitting at the hospital over in Memphis. He was soon to go to the operating room. He was going to have his arm amputated because cancer was there. I never will forget walking and talking with Don. You see, he was trying to get this thing done, hopefully that he'd get well, but he didn't. I sat by him about 2 days before he died. Here's something he told me that's always helped me. Brother Guy, he said, I'm just a young man, but the young die too. He said, I don't know why it took this to get me get my life right with God, which he did. But he said, I'm thankful now I can go and be with the Lord to that extent. And he would keep, when I last saw him, using the expression, thank you, thank you. On Sunday morning, he passed away. A wife, two children, 29 years of age, a storm that he went through, but was victorious because now he went to be with the Lord. Some storms can be calmed by just reading the Bible, by reading some other book concerning your condition, seeking a counselor, going to the right doctors, getting to the right surgeon, maybe getting a simple loan from the bank or encouragement from the church elders. Maybe our storm could be calmed by the words too. If I've sinned, I'll just simply say, I want forgiveness. And know that God says, I forgive you. But there are some storms that we have no control over whatsoever. What must we do? First of all, may I quickly remind you that we need to bring our storms to the Lord. Admit them and ask for His help. We may not understand all the things that are said in these verses here, but we know one thing. There are three things that are stated, and that is God hears prayers. That we are commanded to bring our troubles to Him in prayer. And that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. Bring it to God. Ask God to help you. We must return, I believe, to the belief in the power of God through prayer. I don't know how God chooses to heal people. Yes, but I know one thing. He's promised and told us to pray for those that are sick. And however He does it, it's left up to Him. We don't have to explain. We don't have to understand. Just trust Him, believe in Him. God told us to do what? Pray. What does He do? He heals diseases. He forgives us of our sins. He lifts our burdens up, and He can renew our spirits and cause us to be more zealous and helpful in the kingdom of God, and then allow Him to do the work that He's promised that He will do, because God is still God. Number two, we must know that sometimes Jesus chooses not to calm the storm, but to strengthen the individual that has to go through it. Remember in the garden, when Jesus, our Lord, the night before His death on the cross, Jesus prayed, going a little farther, He fell with His face to the ground, and He prayed, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not I, not as I will, but as You will. God had determined that Jesus had to face that storm, experience it, walk through it, and suffer the cross. And die upon the cross. Paul, you remember that whenever he was praying to God three times, he's begging God. He's got a thorn in the flesh and he wants that to be removed. First he asked God and God said no. And perhaps maybe he said, but God, this thing is tormenting me. I can't stand it. I need help. God said no. Three times. God said no. But why? Because God said, My grace is sufficient for you. I will give you the strength to overcome. I will calm you, Paul, but I will not remove that storm. Wow. And then what does Paul say? I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Sometimes God gives us an inner strength to go through the storm. Thirdly, we must truly believe. Yes, people that trust in Jesus. The Hebrew writer says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And James tells us, when you ask, You must believe and not doubt that God will do what He says that He will do. And finally, we must do what Jesus tells us to do. At Jairus' house, it was put the people out, the little girl. He calls and tells her to awake. And then when she comes alive, He says, feed her. The woman that was 12 years struggling with a disease, a blood disease, the Bible says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. The blind man in John 9 was told, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went, he washed, and when he came back seeing. The woman that was taken in the very act of adultery, Jesus then says to her, when all the others who could witness against her had left, go your way, sin no more. And at Lazarus' grave, where Jesus wept Himself, in John 11, verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. And it was removed. And what happened? Jesus spoke, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. Becoming a child of God is so important. Do what Jesus tells us. Hear His word, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized. Why will we do that? We have storms to go through. And we need the Lord, the encouragement of brethren, others to help us. But how can you do it if you're not a child of God? One who is walking and serving Jehovah God. I heard of a story. It happened some years ago. And these young people were running a race out in Spokane, Washington. 1976. I looked up on the computer to make sure that the details were somewhat, that they were correct. And the Down syndrome that these children were facing. They were running the race. And one little boy tripped and fell. And as the others were going, a little girl looked back and saw it. And instead of racing, continuing, she turned back and went back. A little boy looked back and saw what had happened, and he turned and he came. And they lifted the child that had fallen down. And all three of them put their hands together. And guess what? They didn't win the race. They didn't get the gold. But they all finished together. They cared for each other. That's what it takes for us to be sheltered from the storms of life. It takes our hands together with the Lord. It may be some older lady who comes up to some young man or some young lady, and with her arms and her hands and all now, she's experienced age, and she looks at the young man or the young lady, and she'll say to them, just keep on keeping on. It may be some man who has the different color skin holding out his arms and his hands, and he's saying to the preacher, to the elders, somebody, you're doing good. Keep it up. Don't give up. You see, that's the encouragement that we can get as we go through the storms of life. You're not a Christian. God wants you to be, and we hope you'll want to be today. Won't you believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized today in Jesus Christ? And if you're a child of God and you're not ready to meet the Lord, ask God to forgive you and let us pray with you and for you. We're really, really ready to help you in any way we can. But most importantly, remember, what manner of man is this that we serve? His name is Jesus. And Peter answers that question emphatically in Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Won't you obey Him and come to Him today while together we stand and while